Still, you would have destroyed it, but now you will strike Syria only 3 times. Amen. Joash was a young king, the king of Israel, one of the bad kings. And one day something terrible happened. The Syrian army invaded Israel. And the young, inexperienced king knew he could match the military might of the Syrians. It was impossible. And he was trembling, and he already saw himself in prison and dead. But then suddenly he remembered Elisha, the prophet, the man of God. And he knew there was only one hope for him, and that was to connect with the man of God at that crucial moment. So he went to him and he fluttered him. And he said, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. Elisha was well schooled by the Holy Spirit, and flatteries did not impress him. Flatteries, by the way, are always the build up to the final blow. That's what they say. And those flatteries did not impress Elisha one bit. He was a trembling king, the king of Israel, crying tears, hot tears. And here comes the first point. What did Elisha say? When he saw the sobbing king, he didn't say to him, take your handkerchief, blow your nose, here are some tissues. He didn't care about it. He didn't care about it. But he said, stop weeping and wailing. Take bow and arrow. Take bow and arrow. I tell you what, I am not here to cotton wool Christians. I'm not going to pack Christians into styrofoam to make things easier for them. There are people that stumble over the same stones year after year. The same stones. And if you stumble over the same problems again and again, you must know one thing: you are walking in a circle. You meet the same problems again and again and again. Israel was walking in circles in the desert, facing the same problems again and again and again. I've got good news for you. The compass of the Word of God will break you out of that circle. Our God does not lead circularly. He leads linearly. Not in circles, but straight. I've been studying the river of God in Ezekiel 47, and I realized one thing. A river that flows in a circle becomes a swamp. And so many churches that just revolve around themselves have become swamps. But that river in Ezekiel was on its way to the Dead Sea. And that living water became the medicine for the fish and the water in the Dead Sea. We need to go straight and forward. Canada shall be saved. not just Toronto. America shall be saved. We are not having a pity party here. And see who has got the best words to complain that God hasn't done things he has promised. There is no comfort in unbelief. Do you hear me? There is no comfort in unbelief. I would go one step further and I would say, unbelief is judgment. Unbelief is judgment. Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land. Remember? They came back. 10 of them gave a very factual report. Scientifically factual. The walls reach into heaven. We felt like grasshoppers. These were all facts coming from here. Facts. Their sin, what was their sin? Their sin was that they did not speak about their possibilities in God. Unbelief is judgment. When Joshua's turn came to send spies into the promised land, he only sent 2 because he knew Moses had sent 10 too much. Hallelujah! Don't take those clever unbelievers. Look for people who believe in our possibilities of faith in God. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. God does not anoint honest doubts. In Germany, people like to talk about honest doubts. Honest doubts. Yes. But I have honest doubts, you know. What? Honest doubts? What construction is that? The newspaper, one of the big tabloids in Germany there, the biggest one, Bild Zeitung, came to interview me. And the lady said to me, a man of faith like you, do you sometimes have doubts? I said, yes, I do. She said, what? I would not have expected such a reply. You say you have doubts? Yes, I said, you know, but I doubt my doubts. And you know why? I don't know why we always have to doubt the truth. Why can't we doubt the lies of the devil? And I've made up my mind, I am going to believe the word of God at face value. At face value. And I doubt everything the devil tells me. We shall possess the land. In Jesus' name, there are untold possibilities of faith in God. In God. Hallelujah. Stop finding excuses. Stop fiddling around. Take bow and arrow. I often feel that in many churches there is too much fiddling around with things that are not most important to God. Jesus was and is and remains first and foremost a savior of the lost. Take bow and arrow. It was a military situation. Crying tears wouldn't help. You need a bow and you need an arrow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What is our situation? This is not a doubters club. We believe the word of God. We believe the word of God. In Germany we say, when people always come with their brains first, they say, you are like a goat, head first. No. Lord, I believe. I believe with all that is within me that your word is true and that you will fulfill it in my own life and through my own ministry. Amen. Not head first. We believe God. We believe God. Why can God use some and not others? That question is always asked. I have heard it many, many times. Reinhard, why can God use you and why can't God use me? I don't like to answer that question because I could offend someone. But suddenly it struck me. My mind works in pictures. I said, oh, that's quite simple. If you have got two stoves, one is hot and one is cold, and you want to make yourself a cup of coffee, which one of the two would you use? The hot one. You, because you want hot coffee. Now you know why God can use some and not others. And those who pray that God may use them, I say to you, get the fire of the Holy Spirit into your bones in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's a song that is sung so often and I don't like it at all. I haven't heard it here, thank God. Please, Lord, use me and don't refuse me. Don't pray that the Lord may use you. Pray the other way around. Say, Lord, make me usable. And the moment we are usable, He uses us automatically. You don't even need to ask. In Jesus' name, He loves to use you. The moment we are usable, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are not here to catch doubt, we are here to catch fire. Fire! Inside, outside. Fire, spirit, soul and body. Hey! I came from Africa, home, to a minister's conference. I was in Germany too. I was still a young missionary at that time. I sat for 2 days in that pastor's conference. 2 days. 2 days! And all I heard was unbelief. All I heard was unbelief. I stayed there in the basement somewhere in a private home. I was sleeping. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I had a nightmare. It was as if a python snake, constrictor snake, had wound itself around me. I jumped out of bed and I said, never again in my whole life will I have anything to do with a python of unbelief. I will trust God if I understand it or not, but I will trust Him. Take bow and arrow. Don't leave it to others. God is calling you. God is calling you. Where are our weapons? The armor of God. We of course know Ephesians 6 verse 17. There it speaks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. To my understanding, this is the only attack weapon that we have. All others are for defense. This one is for attack. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What is it? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Take bow and arrow. Take the sword of the Spirit. And you will be more than conquerors through Him that loves us. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Come on, King Joash. Stop trembling. Stop weeping. Take bow and arrows. He was trembling like this, shaking. You know, we are not called to tremble. This is the devil's job. Don't do the devil's job. Devils tremble. But we are standing firm on the Word of God and His promises. Don't do the devil's job. Let him tremble. And we have power over him. Absolute power over him. Are you happy? Yes. Devils tremble. James 2 verse 19. And faith? Faith is our all-purpose weapon. It's our all-purpose weapon. Actually, it's our distinction. Nothing else distinguishes us. Look at Hebrews 11. There are so many wonderful people, but they had big mistakes in their lives. Yet, they are heroes of faith because of their faith. Their faith, their faith. It's faith that distinguished them, and it's faith that distinguishes us now. Nothing but faith and trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith is fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. The Lord taught me there in Africa that faith frightens Satan. Did you know that? Faith frightens Satan. I had a tent crusade. And the tent master, before I arrived, said to me, I can't pitch that big tent because the sand is, the soil is sandy. And the stakes won't hold when it rains and when a storm should come. Shall I pitch the tent? Yes or no? I stood there with my phone in my hand and I said, I can't wait any longer. We've got to preach the gospel. And I said to him, in the name of Jesus, it will not rain and it will not storm. In the name of Jesus, pitch the tent. I am responsible. He was not very happy, but Sometimes I told him, if you can't trust Jesus, trust me, I will trust him. I will. The crusade started. Wow. The people came. It was awesome, awesome, awesome. One afternoon, I sit in my trailer. I kneel at my bedside. I look out of the window, and there I saw a storm approach. Pitch black clouds, like curly hair, pulled by a storm, coming right towards us. At that time, it was our 10,000-seater tent. And somehow I heard that little voice in my heart saying, here comes your catastrophe. The next moment I heard another small voice. The Lord spoke to me. He said, go out and speak to the devil. I went out, I lifted my hand and I said, devil, I want to speak to you. I said, Satan, if you destroy this tent of mine, I will trust God for a tent three times this size. Yes. And I looked. I couldn't believe my eyes. The storm split and never reached us. No wind, no rain. We had a fantastic crusade. When I was back in my trailer, I was very worried. I said, what if the devil misunderstood something? I need to talk to him one more time. I got out again and I said, devil, I need to talk to you one more time. Although you withdrew wind and rain doesn't mean that I have made an agreement with you, because the big tent comes anyway. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And that moment I heard the Holy Spirit say these words, faith frightens Satan. Devils tremble. In Jesus' name, take bow and arrow and teach the devil a lesson. Amen. That distinguishes us. What distinguished the old saints distinguishes us today. It's our distinction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, we read the next thing. The king was trembling. His hands were shaking. And suddenly, Elijah was next to him. And he put his hands, verse 16, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands and said, open the window. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love that. Because those wonderful hands are here. Jesus is going to touch your trembling heart and your trembling hands. And that moment, something fantastic happens. You will become completely still and quiet, and you will know God is with me. I am not going to lose this battle. I'm going to win it. We are winners. This touch makes us fearless. I would say it makes us ferociously fearless. You know what I mean? I'm thinking of Samson. When he was on his way, and then at the vineyards of Timnath, a young lion challenged him. I like that it says a young lion. It means it must have had all its teeth. A young lion challenged him. He was thinking of his girlfriend. He was on his way to her. And here comes now that death trap, that lion. I think Samson must have been shocked. And the lion knew exactly what was about to happen. Every time such a situation occurred, the human being would turn and would run. And then it was easy to catch him from behind. But suddenly, that ferocious beast saw itself confronted by a ferocious man. Because the verse says there, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And instead of going backwards, he went forwards. Hallelujah. A man and a woman of faith have no reverse gear. We only move forward in the name of Jesus. And he rent the lion as you would rent young goat. Hallelujah. This is awesome. This is absolutely awesome. And then the prophet said to the young king, open the window. Position yourself. Clear the decks. Action is about to follow. Open the window. Shoot. I like that so much. I like shooting. I mean, I don't mean with an earthly gun. But oh, the arrows of salvation, the arrows of deliverance. We are going to shoot in Jesus' name as we preach the gospel. We shoot. But what touches me here is we must position ourselves. And this is what I very much would like to emphasize here tonight. Position yourself. People said to me, Reinhard, it's amazing that you were always just at the right places where God intended to do some great thing. I thought about it a lot and I said, no, that was not by chance. I heard already the Holy Spirit speak ahead of time and told me to position myself. That's why we went to Africa. That's why we went back to Germany. That's why we just went and then positioned ourselves. And when God needed the man right there, I was already there. I tell you something that happened to me. I was in Togo. Togo is a West African country. And I arrived that day. We had the first meeting in Lomé. I was the capital city of Togo. And the first meeting, we had 200,000 people there. It's a small country. Togo is a small country. I was very blessed to see the hunger there. And the power of God was moving. The sick were healed. It was absolutely awesome. The cripples left behind a mountain of crutches. I took a picture of it and I published it. I said, look what Jesus has done, this mountain of crutches. And sent it to Germany. And the German people, they said to some other missionary, is that true? Can that be that all these cripples were healed? He said, Reinhard knows you are far away. You don't know Africa. In Africa, he said, it's like this. When there is a big meeting and the people go home, many forget their crutches. I said, what? A cripple may forget his wife. A cripple may forget his children. But how is he going to forget his crutches? How is he getting home? I can tell you with authority, when cripples forget their crutches, you must know God has been doing something. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Don't tell me fairy tales. This is the truth. So, early in the morning, I was still sleeping. First of all, the meeting was very long. I just had come from Europe and I was tired. When my phone rang at 6 o'clock, my phone rang at the bedside. This is the office of the president. Reverend Bonnke, you are expected to be in half an hour in the presidential palace to have breakfast with His Excellency the President. Gee. I said, thank you, sir, for the invitation, but I'm still in bed. I said, I had a long meeting last night and I just came from Europe. I won't make it. Then I realized, gee, that was not an invitation. That was a presidential order. And I remembered what I had read about the president at that time. What a strong man he was. Oh, you didn't do what he said. You know, like a hurricane approaching. And I said, sorry, sir, I can't come. I'm still in bed. He said, wait. 5 minutes later, he comes back. And then I realized that the hurricane had reduced itself to a tropical depression. He said, you are expected for lunch. I said, I will be there. They sent a presidential car with police outriders, and there I sat going for lunch. The president had called together the creme de la creme of the political country there. And I was invited. I was seated right next to the president as a guest of honor. He wanted to give me some whiskey to drink. I said, thank you, Perrier, it's very nice for me. So we talked, and he wondered why I wouldn't drink a nice French wine. Everything had been flown in from Paris. And then I said, Mr. President, I'm so sorry, you were not in my meeting last night. Because if you had been there, you would have seen something you've never seen. Powerful miracles of God. He said to me, but that is the reason why I have invited you. Last night, one of my distant relatives, a little girl who was born deaf and dumb, can now hear and can now speak. Yes. Wow. I was happy. I had positioned myself. And I was exactly there when God needed me. We need to position ourselves. Don't go by your head. Go by your heart. The Holy Spirit will tell you where to go, what to do, what to say, and what to preach. Say amen.
Amen.
There was the Catholic bishop there. The president said, "Bishop, why have I never heard that Jesus is doing miracles?" The bishop said, "Your Excellency, the Bible says different gifts are being given to different people." The president said to him, "But Bishop, don't you have the same Bible?" Isn't that amazing? And while we were eating, I mean, it was something awesome. While we were eating, suddenly the president said, "Please excuse me. I would like to go with Reverend Bonnke into an adjacent room. Excuse us, please." His wife and their son, they got up and he led me out into another room, another office. And when I was in the office here, the president followed. He said to me, "Reverend Bonnke, when I have problems to solve and I cannot solve them, I'm coming into this office. And that's why I have taken you here." "Oh," I said, "Your Excellency, Mr. President, I don't know whether you noticed it, but when I walked through that door, I was in company of the one who solves every problem. And his name is Jesus." Half an hour later, him and his wife and their son, they all received Jesus as their Savior. Position. Believing. Open the window eastward and shoot in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I've been praying so much that the Lord may give a spirit of faith and fire here today. That we drop all our lousy excuses. For Toronto to be saved, 8 million people, is not too much for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I told in Switzerland at a conference to the people there, it was a pastor's conference, how many millions of souls got saved the first 10 years of this new millennium? 55 million in 10 years. Afterwards, a couple of pastors intercepted me and they said to me, "Brother Bonnke, please listen to us. That is Africa. This is Switzerland. You are now in Switzerland." Oh, I said, "But you are contradicting scripture." They said, "Which scripture?" I said, "John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world." Now you have got to tell me whether Switzerland is part of the world of John 3 verse 16. Hallelujah. And I told them this. I said, "If Jesus can save 55 million people in 10 years in Africa, he can save Switzerland one Saturday afternoon." About Canada. Canada shall be saved. Open the window. Shoot. Shoot. You know, there's one thing the prophet didn't say, and that's important for me to tell you. Are you ready?
Yes.
The prophet said, shoot, but he didn't say aim. He never said aim. We are aiming too much. That's why we miss so much. When you shoot the arrow of the gospel, it is self-targeting. It is self-targeting. And it will not fail in Jesus' name. Look the story I just told you about Togo. It was self-targeting. I couldn't do anything. I could have never arranged it. But God, hallelujah. I'm just a simple preacher. I preach that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And I don't become tired of it. Shoot. Don't waste your time with aiming. In Germany, they said to me, when you go into a new country in Africa, you must first go and study everything about that country. I said, I know everything about every country I need to know. It is full of sinners and it needs Jesus as their Savior. That's all I want to know. God's arrows a self-targeting, like a missile. It goes around 1,000 bends, but it will strike the heart of man. Are you happy? Yes. I've learned that from David and Goliath. You see, listen. Goliath had prepared for every eventuality except for one. He did not prepare for a stone. That was too humble for him. And God used that anointed slinger and gave that stone a velocity by the Holy Spirit. And the aiming, David never aimed. It was self-targeting. God is on the throne. Hallelujah. The Lord said, take the arrows and strike the ground. Strike the ground. And he took the arrow that, what shall I say? He took the arrows and just one, two, three, ha. And the Bible says the prophet became angry. He said, why are you so slothful? You should have hit it 6 times. Then you would have had a perfect victory over the Syrians. You should have, he said. You should have. Oh, I tell you, I don't want one day have to look back and say, oh, if I only had. I tell you, the arrows God gave me, I have hit to smithereens, thrashed to smithereens. Amen. Let's use all our resources with fire and fervency. Preach the gospel without compromise. And the Lord will do things we have no idea what he does. And all of a sudden the doors are open, right into government, right into top business, right into the judiciary. God is able. God is able. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me say this. The apostles did not rely on logic. They did not rely on excuses. But they relied on the power of God. Do you hear me? Don't rely on excuses or logic or theories and theologies that rob us of the simplicity which is in Christ. Take the word of God at face value and you will see fantastic results in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm coming to the end. But I've got one fantastic thing to tell you still. I think 3 years ago, Daniel and I were in Germany to speak at a minister's conference. And in the night before it was my turn to preach. I couldn't sleep. And he was there. I just couldn't sleep. I don't know whether I was awake. I don't know whether I was asleep. I only know one thing. I was in the Spirit of God. And suddenly I felt I was transported about 20 years into the future. And I overheard a conversation between two male voices. I thought afterwards it must have been the father and the son talking to each other. And they described what was happening in Germany and said how the German cities, the streets of the cities, were filled with the young people who had raised their hands, worshiping Jesus, praising the Lord, shouting the gospel, city after city. And then I heard a question asked. The question was this: what happened to Reinhard Bonnke? What became of him? And the answer came, oh, Reinhard Bonnke was just the forerunner of a completely new generation of Holy Spirit evangelists. If I am the forerunner, I want you to run with me. They have a song they sing. It soothes my doubt and it calms all my fears. I told one singer, never again say it soothes my doubt. You must sing it routs my doubts. We don't want doubt to be soothed. It needs to be routed in Jesus' name. We get rid of all those hindrances. We take bow and arrow. We open the window. We position ourselves. And we shoot. And the arrow will strike because God is on the throne. Are you happy? So far in the ministry of Christ for Nations, since 1987, we have seen 74 million people receive Jesus as their Savior by completing a decision card. 74 million, counting. I was praying for 100 million and I know it won't be long and we will have 100 million! They said to me, this could never happen in America. I said, well, let me help you. I said, I have seen, by the grace of God, I have seen how in one meeting, over 1 million people got saved. That moment I was under the impression that God is able to shrink time. I said, if God can save 1 million in one meeting, how long will it take for America to be saved? 1 year. Less than 1 year. Do you hear? Less than 1 year! Here, it's all so plain. I believe with all of my heart, you know. I tell you what I did. I dug out the trumpets that brought down the walls of Jericho. I cleaned them up. I repaired them. And now I blow faith from city to city and from state to state and from province to province. Jesus saves! And the choir grows and grows and grows and grows. 3 years ago, the Lord spoke to me. I was living in Florida, in a small place called Vero Beach. 14,000 inhabitants. I read it, 14,000 inhabitants. So it's a small place. Suddenly, the Lord spoke to me and he said, Reinhard, I want you to have a gospel crusade here. I said, oh Lord, it's so small. The Lord said, I want you to have a gospel crusade. Oh yes, Lord, of course, I will have one. I thought I could shovel a couple of hundred people together and then the Lord would be happy. Wow! I announced we have a gospel crusade in Vero Beach. When the day came, in every service, I had 5,000 people. 5,000 people! It was to me as if somebody had shot a flare into the night sky. And I could see all America illuminated. God is able to do mighty things. And the Lord spoke to me. Not only a blood-washed Africa, but a blood-washed America, a blood-washed Canada. If you can believe it, you will receive it. Chula pakasana rabalamatsoya. Oh, hallelujah. I believe it with all of my heart. It is possible. We need to get out of that impossibility corner and stop looking at facts and homing in on our possibilities in Jesus Christ. Are you happy? Young or old, that's what Kenneth this morning said. Doesn't matter. I'm 75. Well, I'm no more a spring chicken, but I tell you, I'm still jumping. Oh, he wants to. Well, somebody said to me, you know, one day you are going to become slower, Reinhard, and I become faster. I said, let me tell you what you will find with me. I'm like a Boeing 747. At the end of the runway, it is fastest. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. When we were at our mission station there in South Africa, an old man from Germany came to work for us. He was just a handy man. His name was Hans. Hans came to help us. He was also a prayer warrior. He was a precious brother. He didn't want a penny. He said, I've got my pension, government pension. I just want to serve the Lord. year after year after year, Hans was such a faithful treasure to us. One day I said to him, Hans, you are financially independent. Why didn't you stay in Germany to play with your grandchildren? You know what he said to me? Tears were running down his cheeks. He said to me, Reinhard, I vow to God, I'm not going to die in front of a television set. It shook me. But these are people who have heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Take bow and arrow. Open the window. Shoot. And I am with you always. I am with you always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me say this. When the 120 were on the upper room, I don't think they knew what was about to happen. They didn't. They didn't pray, oh Lord, send the fire, send the fire. No. They knew nothing about the fire. They only knew that the promise was about to come because Jesus has said so. Hallelujah. And then it happened. Wow. A mighty rushing wind. I like that so much. Because today we are told we need to worship so that we can build up an atmosphere. An atmosphere is wind in a jar. On the day of Pentecost, there was a mighty rushing wind, and it had shredded all atmosphere to nothing. A mighty rushing wind will blow through our churches, through our lives, through our hearts, in Jesus' mighty name. And then they were praying in new tongues. Santi koropo shalavasianna balapakaso. All together in unison. And then Peter turned to John and said, John, I don't stand it any longer here in the upper room. I need to go to Jerusalem. John said, I feel the same. Peter, let's go. They descended from the upper room. And they came to the beautiful gate, and thank God, they were fortunate. They saw a cripple. And that cripple looked at those men who were looking at him so intently. He thought, wow, this is my lucky day. And Peter goes to him. He says, gold and silver I don't have, but such as I have, I give unto you. That cripple grabbed Peter's hand, but didn't know that he had put his finger into an outlet. I wonder how those 120 came down those stairs from the upper room. I wonder how you leave this building here tonight. I wonder. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that we may not just have heard some interesting preaching.